Hello Void, and thank you for joining me. You are listening to episode 13 of the Nerdist Love Podcast with Paul Haas. I am glad I stuck long enough with this whole adventure because number 13 is my favorite number. So I'm super excited to be here and recording and sharing with you my ideas on such a momentous occasion for the Nerdist Love Podcast. And what are we going to talk about today? Well, I decided to dive a little bit deeper into my love for MTG, and since just this past week the new crop of Ravnica Guild kits, the ones for Ravnica Allegiance, have been announced, I decided to give you a little bit more of an insight onto how I'm going to transform these guild kits, which are already pretty awesome to play with just as they are, into a guild brawl setting. So don't go anywhere, Void. We'll get straight into it. You're listening to the Nerdist Love Podcast with Paul Haas, and we'll be right back. First of all, I should probably explain what I mean by the Guild Brawl setting. I basically just took the inspiration from the latest format that Wizards announced, which was Brawl, kind of that variation on Commander or EDH, but in Standard. And so while EDH is 99 plus 1, which is 99 cards plus 1 commander, here is 59 plus 1. And that fits nicely with the guild kit, where you get 60 cards, and most of them are already just one-offs. So the amount of edits that had to be made was pretty minimal. In general, I was going for in-kind replacements, so I was looking for cards that did roughly the same thing as the cards that I was replacing, or cards that fit with the theme of the deck or what I perceive to be the primary theme of the guild kit and that would work with the commander at hand or the leader of the guild, one of the legendary creatures that come in it. I hope you like this content. I hope you find it informative, if not as a straight up guide, at least as an inspiration. And so let's dive straight into it with Azorius. Azorius as a blue-white guild is pretty heavy on the control stuff. So the goal in here, based on the cards that have been released into the guild kits, is to detain and contain the opponent until late game when you can sweep in with some larger, usually flying, evasive creatures for big-time damage. Now, interestingly enough, Azorius doesn't have that many legendary creatures. You basically have the two copies of Hesperia, so Hesperia Supreme Judge and Hesperia the Inscrutable, and then you have Lavinia of the Tenth. So those are your three commander options coming straight out of the guild kit. Of the three, I think that Hesperia Supreme Judge is the best commander. Although it is slow, it is not that much slower than the other two. And admittedly, it seems that Lavinia and Hesperia are much better suited as just creatures. They are more suited as ETB with Lavinia or damage dealing with Hesperia the Inscrutable. So I think Supreme Judge version of Hesperia is going to be better as the commander, even if it takes just a little bit longer to get her out onto the field and have her do things. So how did I change this deck? Well, there hasn't been that many changes to make, with only one creature being a two of, that being Judge's Familiar. I simply went and replaced that with a Senate Guildmage. It was a pretty easy edit, as I said, and I picked Senate Guildmage over the new Prav Guildmage because of the detain cost being too high on the new Prav. Yes, that would fit better slightly with the theme, but I like the card draw on Senate Guildmage a bit better. There are other ways for this deck to draw cards, but I don't think drawing cards ever hurts, so that was my rationale. Of course, this counts more as a thematic replacement than the in-kind replacement. A Curse Catcher would have been a better in-kind replacement, but that card is relatively expensive and I don't want to raid my Modern Merfolk deck for it, and so going with the Guildmage is just a better option. The rest of the replacements is pretty self-explanatory. There is an extra Azorius Signet that goes out and is replaced with Azorius Locket. The three copies of Azorius Chancery and three copies of Azorius Guildgate get replaced by Prav, the Spires of Order, one copy of Tranquil Cove, a Meandering River, a Boreal Shelf, a Transguild Promenade, and a Gateway Plaza. The Transguild Promenade and Gateway Plaza are cards that I'm just throwing into all of the Guild Brawl replacements because they are nice and simple ways to fix colors, and having them in all of the Guild Kit Brawl modifications makes them, in my opinion, more comparable. Next up is the Gruul Guild. Here, the choice of the leader is even simpler, since we only get Rurik Thar and Ulasht. I think that Rurik is just a straight up better option, even if it makes it a little strange. This is a straight up commander damage kind of situation, as one would expect with Gruul. So, as Rurik Thar hitting as soon as possible, there is also that beautiful non-creature spell casting, which annoys anyone who would try and do some burn or counterspelly crap against the deck. But overall, I think Rurik just fits best this overall outline, where this being a Gruul deck, it's a rampy deck that starts small and then goes quickly into larger creatures. These creatures often have trample, haste, or other effects. Presence of some awesome cards like Birds of Paradise makes this pretty simple. Here, I had to make multiple replacements. We have the Clan Guildmage, one of the copies is going out. The same case with the Skep Clan Mauler, one copy is going out. So I'm replacing those with Gruul Guildmage and the Skarg Guildmage. The Guildmages fit the bill pretty nicely. Skarg can distribute trample and can turn land into monsters if all else fails, which is pretty neat. The Gruul can deal direct damage and give some extra +2/+2. That never hurts with a deck that is designed around beating your enemy up with pretty much anything that's at your disposal. Gruul Signet, as before, getting replaced with a Gruul Locket. Three Gruul Guildgates and three Gruul Turfs replaced with a Skarg, the Rage Pits, Timber Gorge, Highland Weald, Rugged Highlands, and Transguild Promenade and Gateway Plaza. Admittedly, all of these changes will slow down the decks just a little bit. I mean, Gruul Turf is a great card, just because it generates 2 mana, similar case with Gruul Signet. But because I'm doing this to all of the guild kits, it's not that much of an issue, at least in my opinion. Next up, Orzhov. I will admit, this one has been a little bit trickier to unpack. I've been having a hard time figuring out what is actually the theme here. If you look at the cards, you'll observe some life gain loss theme. There is also a token and counter situation going on, so some ++ counter cards, some token generating cards, especially the cards with afterlife. Some nice removal here and there, with again black and white often having access to pretty neat removal. But overall, there is not such a clear thematic situation for me, at least. Again, maybe this is just my greenness showing still. But with the Simic deck, for example, there is a clear counter theme going on. With the Orzhov, it's just a bit more tricky. Now, in terms of commanders, you have access to both copies of Tesa. So there is Tesa Orzhov Sion and Tesa Karlov, and then there is the Ghost Council of Orzhova. Which one of those would I pick as the commander depends on how fast would I like to play. Tesa Orzhov Sion is obviously the fastest and has some pretty neat commander effects with the sacrifice the white creatures. You can remove target creatures from the game, so exiling stuff. I think any of them would work. I'll just stick with Tesa Orzhov Sion because that is technically the face card for this deck, the card that gets the new artwork. And you also get it out the fastest. In fact, it goes out the fastest of all five guilds in Ravnica Allegiance. In terms of other edits, what did I make here? Now, we needed to make a few more, but again, not that many. In fact, I had to make fewer edits to these guild kits than to the guild kits from Guilds of Ravnica, which was pretty interesting. I wonder what happened in the R&D between GRN and Ravnica Allegiance. Anyway, one Imperious Oligarch going out. That one was a little bit of a tricky replacement. I was debating a Courier Hawk for the Imperious Oligarch because it is kind of a variation of what Imperious Oligarch does, but I decided to go with the Syndicate Guildmage, partially because of the theme and partially because of the flexibility that the Guildmage provides. It's not a clear kind-for-kind substitution, but nothing really would be. That effect that Imperious Oligarch has is pretty cool and not that easy to duplicate. One Viscopa Guildmage also went out, replaced by Orzhov Guildmage, just because it fits the theme of life gain, life loss pretty nicely. For the rest of the edits, as you would expect, Orzhov Signet out for Orzhov Locket, 3 Orzhov Basilicas and 3 Orzhov Guild Gates replaced by Orzhova the Church of Deals, Forsaken Sanctuary, Scored Barrens, Transguild Promenade and Gateway Plaza. Now, I was pretty surprised here just when I was looking for dual black-white lands to rope in, ones that wouldn't be terribly expensive. I'm looking for cards that are usually under a dollar. I couldn't find any. So I ultimately decided that the last land that was missing would just be a swamp. Pretty simple, not expensive at all, fits the bill nicely, does the job, no problem here. How about Rakdos though? This deck is basically another one of those I'll punch you really hard in the face kind of decks, with some nice burn roped in, especially Skewer the Critics, which is, for all intents and purposes, a lightning bolt. Your job, therefore, with this deck will be to hit your opponent and their creatures super hard and have a lot of fun doing it. I mean, after all, Rakdos is all about partying, right? In terms of a commander, you only have two options again, with Rakdos, Lord of Riots, and Lizolda, the Blood Witch. And I think that even though you can technically get Lizolda out a turn earlier if you want to, Rakdos is just a better option. I think you cast him whenever you get to deal that combat damage to your opponent, so either some sort of ping for life loss or straight up face damage. And then you have him around, and Rakdos will help you decrease costs of some of the higher costed creatures that come in this deck. And there are a few, including, and I was really happy to see that, an Utvara Hellkite, which is a converted mana cost 8 dragon. and I love dragons. I wish dragons was a viable deck in Modern. Of course, it isn't. So, Merfolk, second best. Or, really, the best. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. Rakdos just helps you do that. Helps you get your monsters out pretty quickly. While you can have Lizolda around and have her do her sacrifice monsters thing. No problem, therefore. In terms of changes, here it wasn't that bad. Again, only two creatures needed to be replaced. Rakdos Cackler I replaced with a Killsuit Cultist, and it's a nice stand-in for Cackler, the Cultist is, and it can be even used as a nice piece of removal. It's a little bit clunky, you cannot use the Killsuit Cultist to activate itself, but there are many other ways in the deck to activate the situation where you can use a Killsuit Cultist to remove a creature, even if you lose the Cultist in the process. So I thought that would be a pretty neat replacement. The Rakdos Guildmage gets replaced with the Cult Guildmage just because the Cult Guildmage really fits the burn theme nicely. More options to do some burn damage is always good. Ragnos Signet, as you might have already realized, replaced by a Rakdos Locket. 3 Rakdos Carnariums and 3 Rakdos Guildgates replaced by Rixmadi, the Dungeon Palace. Cinder Barrens, Urborg Volcano, Bloodfell Caves, and Transguild Promenade and Gateway Plaza. Nice, simple, a lot of partying ready for these Rakdos folks. And finally, we have the Simic Guild. And this guild is pretty clearly centered on counters. +1/+1, +2/+2, whatever you have, counters is the name of the game for Simic. And for that reason, I'm actually going to say that the face card for this deck, which is the Ghana Utopian Speaker, is not gonna be your best commander. I think that either Vorel or Momir Vig, Simic Visionary, would be much better. And I do argue that if you really want to lean in heavily, heavily into that counters matters theme, Vorel is going to be the best commander. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's really fun. And you get him out really quickly. He is a 3 CMC creature. Yes, the blue-green mana makes it harder to cast, but there are many ways to get him out quickly. And as always, 3 CMC is better than the 5 CMC of Momir Vig or 4 CMC of Zegana. And even then, Zegana is not the best commander for this deck at all. This was also a deck which needed to accommodate the most changes. With 2 copies of Cloudfin Raptor, Coiling Oracle, Zamek Guildmage and Rapid Hybridization, I had my work cut out for myself. The only difficult replacement was Cloudfin Raptor. What it does is pretty unique. So in the end, I went with 1 copy of Benthic Biomancer. Number 1, because it's a Merfolk and I love Merfolks. But also because it fits really nicely with the counter theme and gets really out of hand if not addressed quickly, because once you start moving counters around, there is really no stopping that card draw engine. The other replacements were also done to serve the theme. I went with the Simic Guildmage because it lets me move counters around, and I can also mess with auras, which is particularly useful for the other decks that use auras. And the combined Guildmage does the same thing in terms of moving counters around, plus multiplies counters for enter the battlefield effects. Perfect. Rapid Hybridization has a clear equivalent in Pongify or Pongify. It is the most expensive replacement, going for around $3 to $4, but it's funny and it also fits the Simic theme of making things into different things. So I decided ultimately to cough up the dollars and get Pongify. The rest of the replacements was pretty simple once again. Simic Signet gets replaced with a Simic Locket. 3 Simic Guild Gates and 3 Simic Growth Chambers get replaced with Novigen, Heart of Progress, Woodland Stream, Thornwood Falls, Transguild Promenade, Gateway Plaza, and One Forest. Indeed, Simic was the other guild in this case where I was not able to find an easy dual land to replace one of the ones that I was taking out. It was pretty surprising. I guess blue-green is not one of those color combinations where you get the dual lands pretty often. Nevertheless, I didn't want to spend large amounts of money. All in all, this has been a great fun experience so far. Of course, the guild kits are not coming until February. I have them pre-ordered though, and I can't wait for them to get here, alongside the cards that I am ordering to replace the multiple copies as I just talked about. And then the only thing left to do will be to bribe my friends with enough alcohol and treats to play all of these magic decks with me, because it gets pretty boring to solitaire things after a while. That's it for today. If you are somewhere out there tonight on Saturday, I'm recording this on Saturday evening, playing pre-release Mad Props to ya. I'm watching over animals, can't go, and I'm super bummed. Nevertheless, thanks again for joining me, Void. If you want to find more of my content or more of my crazy opinions and ideas, look at Nerdislav on Twitter. You can also find my website at www.nerdislav.com. You can reach out to me there. You can reach out to me on Twitter. Of course, my podcast is available anywhere good podcasts are available. And as always, on Anchor. That's the primary place where you can find my podcast. For the time being, I bid you good night. This has been the Nerdislav Podcast with Paul Hoss. And cheers, Void. I'll talk to you again soon.